further ado, I would like to introduce Pastor John Pistorius from St. John Reformed Church. He is Reformed. Aren't we glad?
Everybody hear me okay?
Yeah.
I've been told I've got a big mouth. And I've been told that I have the gift of gab. But I've also been told I need to learn to rap that gift once in a while. So I'm going to try to keep it under an hour. How's that? Is that good? You know, when Sherry asked me if I would speak, my first response was, yeah, sure, absolutely, no problem. When? And I do that all the time because I love bringing God's word into other people's lives. I started talking with God when I was about 5 years old. And I started working for him when I was about 15. And then I quit when I was about 17. And I went out into the world and I learned everything that the world had to offer. And failed miserably. And finally, while down on my face praying one day or night, I don't remember what it was, I just did like this. Here, God, here's the wheel. You drive, because I keep wrecking. And in his great love for me, he said, no problem, I've got this. And then I snatched the wheel back and I drove for a while and I wrecked again. And then I said, here, God, you take the wheel, put me in the trunk. You drive. I don't even want to see where we're going. I don't care to know. I don't need a compass. I don't need a map. All I need to know is that I'm with you and you are with me. And it's not about me. It's all about you. And when I got to that place of absolute surrender, where I said, I surrender all, not most, not some, but all. He enveloped me with his love. And he's taken me on a journey. I'll tell you, it's been a wild ride. I've been serving the last 10 years or so in a little church out in Shakora. And I praise God. He's just had us. I mean, it's been a ride. It really has. And all through that time, he has shown me his love continuously. There's no greater love than the love that God has for his creation. No greater love. I once gave a message on Memorial Day at the Memorial Day parade in Shakora. They've got a big parade that they run through town, and somebody prominent usually speaks. But on this particular year, they didn't have anybody prominent, so they let me speak. And I gave that message. It was on the greatest love. And I'm not going to duplicate that message here. I couldn't anyway. I don't have my notes. It was a very specific message for Memorial Day where we talked about, or I shared with the people, that great love that those people who laid down their lives in service to our country and how they gave their lives. And I brought that together by what Jesus said. And that's where I'm going to kick off the message tonight, is what Jesus said. It's written in the 15th chapter of John's gospel record. And I'm going to read a few verses. I think I'll start around verse 4, and I'll read maybe 8 or 10 verses. This is Jesus speaking. He says, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine or remains connected to the source, it's another way to put that, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, Jesus said. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Do you want to bear spiritual fruit? Remain connected to the vine. Now see, as you were bringing your testimony, say you didn't have that deep, intimate, passionate relationship. You weren't abiding in the vine. And that's not a criticism. But once you got connected, once you were abiding, now the flow of the Holy Spirit comes through you, and anybody whose life your life touches is going to be affected by that very Spirit that is ruling in you. So as we go on, Jesus says, "You abide in me, and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, without Jesus, without Yeshua, the Messiah, you can do nothing." But another passage of Scripture tells us, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And so if we're abiding in Christ, we're being nourished by Christ, we're receiving that very love that Almighty God Himself poured out upon this earth when He sent Jesus here to be the propitiation for our sins. He's the payment. He erases the debt that we owed, because the wages of sin is death. That's what we are owed for the sin that we've committed. And yet Jesus came and He took away that penalty. He became life for us, and so that we can live with Him forever. As the passage goes on, we hear, "If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they're burned. But if you abide in me, and my words abide in you," in other words, if the word of God Himself abides in you, if you have the word within you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. We can't expect that great love of God comes without something. He says He'll give you everything if you abide in Him. If you abide in His love, you receive what you asked for. Now, do you want the Holy Spirit? Is there anybody here that does not have the Holy Spirit? Is anybody here that questions whether or not they have the Holy Spirit? We can pray. We can lay hands on you. And you can ask for God to bring His Spirit down upon you. There are some today who believes that the Holy Spirit does not operate as the Holy Spirit has operated in the past. I strongly disagree. In fact, the Scriptures show us that God is the same today as He was then. He hasn't changed. What's changed? The way that we are either abiding or not abiding in Him. Because it's His love that sent His Son to pay for our debt. And if we abide in the Son, then we are children of God. He wants what's best for His children. Does He or does He not?
Oh, yeah.
Now, He says, "By this, my Father is glorified." What? By what? "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified." And then He says that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. Do you want to bear fruit? Do you want to bring that love of God to bear upon the world and everyone whose life that you interact with? Do you really want to see change happen in your area of influence? Do you want to see people come alive with the Spirit of God? Do you want to see God moving over the community that you operate in? You must abide in Him. And how do we see? In Scripture it says, God inhabits the praises of His people. Do you want to abide in Him? Praise Him! Shout a praise to God! Hallelujah! Praise you! Not me, not each of us. We praise Him. He's the one. He's the one that we praise. He's the one we give glory to. He's the one that we honor. He's the one that we worship. He's the one that we serve. And as we do that, we are abiding in Him. If you have a job and you don't abide in your job, what happens? You don't have the job anymore, right? You can't expect to have something that you don't remain in. Think about that for a moment. You have a walk with your Savior. You have a walk. And we sing,
And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I'm his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Are we tarrying with him? Are we spending time with him? But when we wake up a little early in the morning, are we going to the Lord in prayer? Are we spending time? Are we beginning the day abiding with the one who loves us with that great love? We should be. And I'm not saying that in a legalistic manner. God wakes me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to get up and I'm going to pray for a while. And sometimes my eyes are sleepy and I'm saying, Lord, I need some sleep. Oh, he said, we need to talk. So, okay. I'm here. I will climb out of the bed, and I will go stoke up the wood burner, since it is winter time, by the way. I know it doesn't seem like it today. And I'll sit there. This morning, I just stoked the coals. I didn't get the fire going, because I knew we weren't going to run the fire today. And I watched those embers burning, and I thought, this is like each member of the body of Christ. We all need to be on fire with the Holy Spirit. Each and every one of us need to be burning, and we need to have that heat that's going out into the community so that each and everybody else catches on fire.
That's right.
The whole city catches on fire. The whole county catches on
fire.
That's
right. I'm on that.
Jesus goes on. He says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. As the Father loved him, he has loved us. He said, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Oh, now why has he got to put that in there? You know, I thought I was getting off easy here. I got to keep some commandments? What are the commandments? What? What's this commandments thing? I mean, I thought all I had to do was just say a little prayer and follow Jesus, right? But following him is keeping his commandments. And he says, what's his commandment? A couple of verses down, he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. What does it mean to love? Will I harm you if I love you? Would I hurt you? Would I do anything that's going to go contrary to you if I love you? No way. I'm not going to do anything to harm you. And if I love God, will I do anything that's contrary to what God says is to be done or not done? Will I go against what he says? Will I willfully live my life contrary to the way God's word lays out as the parameters for our living? This building has parameters, okay? It has walls. It has a ceiling. It has a floor. What would happen if those things went away? Well, we'd all be in the basement. You have to look at the parameters of God, because he sets those parameters because he loves us, just as those of us with children understand that we set parameters for our children. They have to have guidelines. They have to have boundaries, and they will push, and they will push, and they will push to find out where the boundaries are. And as we set those boundaries and we hold those boundaries, they realize that we love them. And they learn that reciprocation of love by staying within the boundaries. And this is what God shows us. Jesus was a sinless man. He had no sin. He never stepped outside of the parameters that Almighty God set for human existence. He was divine, and yet he was flesh. And in the flesh, the scripture tells us, in every way, he was tempted as we are. And yet without sin. That is the greatest love. He expressed that love for us. For if he had not, he would not have been that sinless sacrifice. And if he had not been sinless, it is unlikely that we would have known of him. Or maybe we would have heard of him as a prophet. Oh, he healed people. He did this. He did that. He was a great guy. But he sinned. Maybe we wouldn't have heard of anything, because God's sacrifice wouldn't have come and he wouldn't have taken us out of this world already. The world would have been over. But because God so loved the world, He gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. As we go on, in verse 13, it's written that Jesus said, greater love has no one than this. Now, listen to what he says. That to lay down one's life for his friends. He exhibited the greatest love that has ever been seen in this world. And then he gathers people to himself and he says, now, love one another as I have loved you. He's saying, sacrifice. Give yourself. Every bit that you can give, give for others. Now, is there a line to that? There are parameters. Absolutely. God doesn't want you to be a doormat. He never tells us to be doormats. He tells us to live our lives loving him first and loving others. And at the same time, he gives us the authority to protect ourselves because we love others as we love ourselves. And so we allow ourselves a limit to what harm can come to us. And there's a place where some people don't ever want to talk about. They don't want to say, well, wait a minute. God says there's boundaries and we've got to stay within them. And a lot of times in the church harms people. I've told people that I have an idea for a book, and God, I'm sure, is going to give it to me whenever the time comes. It's going to be the post-traumatic church syndrome. There's a lot of people that have been hurt by the church. For centuries. For centuries. This is why I love broken places. I'm broken. I was choked by a Catholic priest when I was a teenager. That's why I quit preaching. That's why I quit. I don't know where I'd be if I hadn't quit. God showed me one time and I cried. But he took everything that I learned out there and he uses it to his glory even today. Because I know what the world's about. I don't just read about it in books. And I trust that greater love that nobody has than to lay down one's life for another, for his friends. I know that love. God called me out of a very impressive career whenever he finally got me back. I was on track for a good amount of money that year. And then God had a friend of mine invite me to attend a Bible school. Well, I had studied the Bible for all my life. I never quit reading the Bible. I didn't quit studying the Bible. I didn't quit praying to God. I just wasn't going to serve him. I was not going to be one of those guys like that priest that choked me. Wasn't going to do it. When he called me into that school, it was for an apologetics class, and I loved apologetics. I want to be able to give a defense for that faith that I have within me. The hope that I have within me. I want to be able to share that with other people. And so if there's a question mark, somebody says, well, what about this? And I haven't studied it, then I've got to go into the Word and I've got to find the answers out of God's Word. Not what some man said, not what some woman said, not what somebody else said or some divinity school said or whatever, some denomination said. I want to see what God said. I want to know what His Word says. So I don't take somebody else's word for it. Somebody said, well, you know, you've got it wrong there. Or they say, well, the way I see it is, say, well, you know, the way God sees it is different from the way you see it. So I'm going to go with God. I kind of like that. Yeah. And I can't do this whole religion thing. I tell people, I'm not religious. And they say, what? But you're a preacher. Now imagine that. I've got a relationship with my Creator, and I walk with Him, and I talk with Him, and I serve Him, and I go where He wants me to go, and I do what He wants me to do, and I am who He wants me to be. Amen. This is that greatest love. This is what Jesus modeled for us. He was the one who came here, and He was the one who died, gave His life, 100%. But let me tell you, he gave his life before he gave his life. He had to walk away from glory. He gave his life much greater than any life I would have had with what I was on target for whenever he called me out of work and into the pulpit. Whenever I was offered the first pulpit, came as a surprise. The pastor of the church that was connected to the school had quit abruptly, suddenly, like no notice. And so they're scurrying around because Sunday's coming and they don't have a pastor. They have nobody to speak. So they came to the school and they said, do you have any students that might be able to fill in as an interim pastor? And this one professor said, it was the apologetics professor, he said, John. And I said, oh, no, not me. No. I can't speak. You ever hear Moses? Oh, no, God, not me. I'm slow of speech. I can't speak. No. So I said, wait a minute. I'm going to trust you, Lord. If it really is you that wants me to do this, you'll give me the testimony of two or three witnesses. Because in his love for me, I expect he's going to prove it to me. Right? Who was it to put the fleece out, said, let the dew land on the fleece and not around it? And then later said, let the dew fall on the ground but not on the fleece. Yeah, so I was going to make God prove it. Okay, so as he loves me, he's going to prove it. So I started writing to people. And I don't think I had time. I didn't have a phone at that time, I don't think. I might have. And I asked some people, and I called and left voicemails, and I'm thinking, nah, this isn't for me. I'm not going to do this. There's no way. So a friend of mine says, you're kidding me, right? I said, no, I'm not kidding. This was the guy that paid for me to go to the apologetics class. He said, John, I kid you not, I was at that church last November. He said, and when I sat there, I had a vision of you in that pulpit. I said, no! No, you didn't! That wasn't me! It wasn't me! And I don't think I really said that, but you know, my heart was saying that. And then the woman that was the president of the corporation that owned the church building and the school, when she came to meet me, she said, I don't know you from Adam. She said, but God told me you're the one. And then there's Jill Bucks, you know, there's the testimony of three witnesses. I can't get out of this one. Because God proved it to me. So I'm like, okay, no. I'm thinking Tarsus is looking good right now. I need to get in a boat. I need to go somewhere. I can't do this. And then they offered me the salary. I said, huh? This is the icing on the cake, right? 70, can you believe this? $75 a week. I had three children to feed. And my wife and I. Yeah, $75 a week. And there's no greater love than this, than to lay down one's job and life for his friends. Well, those people weren't even my friends, and there were some really bad religious people there, and there was some bad stuff that happened. I'm not going to go into that testimony. That would take the rest of the night. Let me tell you, though, when that happened, I started yelling up to God, I remember why I quit before. I remember why I didn't want to do this. Those people were bad, God. I want to work for you. I don't want to work for them. I want to do what you want me to do. I was crying out to God. I want to be one who loves him, and I want to be able to share his love with other people. And I was shackled. Religion. You got to do it this way. In one of the board meetings, this guy said, how are you growing the church? This was after, a year or so. Well, I'm preaching God's word. Building relationships. Well, what do you preach? I opened up the Bible and I read something to him. I said, God's word. And this guy says, you mean you're not preaching John Wesley? I said, is he in here? I'm preaching God's word. I mean, what am I supposed to do? That's the only thing I know is God's word. I cut my teeth on God's word. As a teenager, I was preaching on the streets. I was called all kinds of names. I didn't have any friends. I was a teenager called out of the world to preach the gospel, and I did what God said, and I got punished by religion, and I didn't like religion, and I like broken places for that reason. No religion here. There's relationship.
Amen.
It's greater love. That greatest love is to love one another as God has loved you. Give up whatever it is that's in the way between you and God. Give up whatever is in the way between you and what God wants you to do. And maybe it's a scary path. You think $75 a week wasn't a scary path? My wife thought I went crazy. She thought I was just plain nuts. How are we going to do? We can't do this. We had two old vehicles. Still have one of them. By the grace of God.
Amen.
He will provide.
He does. His love has shown me that laying down my life, I still get to keep. It's not gone. If I can take the love of God and I can share it with you. I can share it with you. I can share it with you. I can give that love away. But guess what? I get to keep it too. Woo! Praise God! It doesn't go away. It's an endless supply. And I get to keep the love that I give away. And it seems like as I give it away, it multiplies and it grows. And then people are giving that love to each other and others. And then the next thing you know, God is glorified through all of those lives.
That's right.
I have no idea how many lives I've touched. And you know what? On this side of eternity, I don't care. I imagine, I do have an imagination, I imagine that at some point in time when I get to the other side, God will show me that there was an effect, that it really did make a difference. And I know that for you, too. No matter where he has you, no matter what he's doing with you, no matter how he's working on you right now, he's molding you into the image that he wants you to portray Christ to the world in. Yeah. It's not about these physical bodies. God uses them because that's where we are, right here, right now.
Mm-hmm.
His great love is ours.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not just ours. It's not like this little bottle of water that I have in my pocket is just mine. Oh yeah, I get to have some, right? But I can't give that to you all, can I? You're probably not going to accept it, right? Because love is like that. I get to keep it even as I give it away. And it blesses me. As we look at this passage and Jesus goes on, he says, again, greater love has no one than this than to lay down one's life for their friends. And he says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Woohoo! Praise God! You're my friends if, oh, why's it got to be that if in there? You know, makes it conditional. Our salvation's not conditional. We believe, we receive. That's simple. But he says, you're my friends if you do whatever I command you. And no longer do I call you servants. Of course, we do serve the living Almighty God. And he's speaking to his disciples here at that time. And he's saying, a servant doesn't know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends for all things that I heard from my Father I've made known to you. Now, unfortunately, we don't have all those things. As John himself admits, if everything had been written down, it would be too much for everybody to digest. We wouldn't be able to handle it. There wouldn't be enough books to put it all into. But what we have saved here shows us that great love of God. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him. Is there anybody here that doesn't believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Everybody here believes, right? You all believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Say it out loud.
Oh,
I believe Jesus is the Son of God.
Right.
And he says, the devils can't say that. The Spirit gives it to you to say that. The Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Somebody might ask you, well, how do you know you have the Spirit of God? Well, there's some indicators. God puts them in his word. I'm not going to illuminate them right now, but I want you to look into his word. Find out. What are those things that show that you have the Spirit of God? There are many different things. He says many ways that the Spirit manifests in a human. God has given me the ability to look at his word, hear from him, and then deliver a message. He's given me that. When Sherry asked me, and we talked about the message and what the title would be, we kicked it around a little bit, and Sherry says, greatest love. That right?
Greatest love of all.
The greatest love of all, right? And it turns out that's also a song.
Yeah.
It just happens to be, according to God's providence. It's the greatest love of all that you have received. It's the greatest love of all that I have received. It's the greatest love of all that the world needs. And I think of that old song, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's not enough of. That's too little of. Yes, my memory still. I'll tell you about that memory thing sometime. I was hit by a car. 1983, and they told me that I was never going to speak properly again.
Wrong.
And I said, no! And in my notes, which I got later, my medical records, it said, in denial. All right. God, I started is bigger than that. And he started having me speak publicly back in the 80s. And from that point forward, he gave me venues to speak in. He gave me the ability. He said, now, like Moses, I'm slow of speech, but I can't talk for you. Now, he said, oh, you're going to talk. So I guess that's the greatest gift and the greatest love. Lay down your lives. Whatever it is that's getting in the way. I believe time is short, folks. I think we're going to witness an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, perhaps like we've never seen before in our lives. And I think that the great love of God is going to flow through his people, his true church. And it's not going to be those steeple buildings with the plastic people, as one popular song from about 10 years ago talks about. You know, it's going to be authentic people who love God and who express his love to others. And maybe it's going to be giving somebody a hand up out of a ditch. We all need to be chasing God like the drug addicts are chasing the drugs, folks. I said this in my message on Sunday. We need to be so focused on God that all we think about is how we're going to get more of God today.
Yes.
And we need to be looking for ways that we can take what we have and give it to others today, not tomorrow. And it might be you're in the grocery store and the girl at the cash register says, oh, you say, hi, how are you doing? Oh, my wrist is really hurting today. Do you mind if I pray for you? Right here?
Yeah, right here.
I don't want to pray for you tomorrow. I don't want to pray tonight. I'm liable to forget. I need to pray right now. Okay? That's so simple to me. We do it right there. If God lays a song on your heart, it's one of his songs. Or it's relative. Like, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. Sing it! I walked into the dollar store one time and I was singing. I don't remember the song now, but as I walked in the door, it came over me. Whatever the hymn was, it was a hymn, biblical based. And I started singing it. And there was a lady just, I don't know how many feet away, probably like from here to there. And I walked in, maybe a little further. And I got over toward her, I'm singing. And she said, that has been on my heart all day.
Aww.
I said, well, the Lord laid it on my heart when I came through the door. So I imagine he wanted you to hear it. Not just have it in your head.
That's good, yeah.
My kids used to shrink when we'd walk in the store. And I'd start whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. And it's His great love that washes us. It's His great love that makes us clean. It's His great love that we can share with others. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that there is no greater love than that we, like Christ, would lay down our lives for our friends. And you're not asking us to die, I know that. You're asking us to die to self. You're asking us to pick up our cross and walk after you daily. And so, God, I ask that you would pour out your Spirit upon each and every one in this room tonight. That each of us would find places, Lord, even yours truly. If there's some place that I have not yet to relinquish to you, I ask that you would make it clear to me that I would do it. Take each of us, Lord. Use us to your glory. Help us to take your great love and to share it with others. Help us, Father. We want to serve you. We want to be your people. We want to draw other souls out of the darkness and into your light. We know that you bought and paid for those souls, and you deserve to get what you bought and paid for, Father. And so help us to collect what you bought and paid for. After all, you commissioned us to do that. We're all commissioned officers in your army. So give us the words, or give us the courage. Take away whatever it is that's standing in the way. Help us to express your great love to each and every soul that we encounter in our lives. Help us not to shrink from that responsibility. Help us not to be like Jonah and run from our duty. You told us to go out into all the world and preach the gospel, and that means the little corner that we live in too. And so, Lord God, I ask that you would help us to do that. For without you, we're powerless. And we know that. We need your Spirit to empower us, to give us the voice, to give us the words, to give us the ability to reach into those lives and draw them out of that darkness and into your light. Draw them out of anything and everything and enter them into your love. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We know, Father, that you have brought him here because of your great love with which you loved us. He sacrificed his life because he loved us. Even before we were even here, that we were dead in sin, and yet Christ gave his life that we could live. And we know that we have that eternal life and that hope that lies within us, Lord, we need to share with others. We need to show them, Lord, this is real. This isn't something that we just get together and clap our hands and sing some songs and listen to some guy talk and say a few prayers and go home and do everything the same as we've always done. Lord, change us. Transform us. Make us new. God, pour your love upon us that as we walk through our lives, other people that we encounter would be touched by your love. We don't have it in us. We are human, selfish creatures, and we need your love, that great love, to pour out on others. Oh, God, have mercy. We need you. We need you every hour. Lord, I ask, and I think there are others here that will agree with me, that we need you to point us to those times of communication with you that we call prayer. That we would spend time, Lord, if it's just allowing you to clear the clutter in our minds. Because we know your love is also like a washcloth. It cleanses us whiter than snow. It cleans away all of that dirt, all of the things that displease you and that keep us from having a tight, passionate, interactional relationship with you. We want to interact with you. We want others to know. We want them to look at us and see, Lord, that you are shining through. And they'll know, Father. I know they will. And I believe there are those here tonight that are in agreement with me, Lord, that you will touch each life in here, that your Spirit will begin to manifest in ways that they never thought possible, just as you've done for me. We're lost without you. We need that great love just as the rest of the world does, Father. And so we ask that you would help us to pour it out upon them. And it's in Christ's name that we pray and all of God's people said.
Amen.